yeah, we are from the Village Church, as you heard, in Hamilton. And but hey, what a great place you guys live in. Just the region, the area, and driving up from Wellington, just an amazing, yeah, through those mountains or the pass is just absolutely incredible. So I'm sure you're enjoying it, eh? Being here in the Wairarapa, eh? Which is a great privilege. Eh? All right, so I want to start with a quote, and it was actually Bill Harbour who said, "There is nothing like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited." And when you hear that, you think, man, that's certainly the church I want to be a part of. And the wonderful thing is you can be a part of that church, you know, because every one of us can make that church as an entity that truly is counting for God in every way. And yet for the local church to work right, the truth is we need to keep to, or at least get back to, the biblical pattern. Not our pattern, but the biblical pattern when it comes to church structure, when it comes to church government, and all that surrounds that. And we have to understand that God has chosen always to work with leaders and to work through leaders in the building of his church. It's the way God has done it right from the beginning up until now. Nothing has changed in that regard, because that's how the kingdom advances. Yes, through the local church, but leaders leading in the local church. And so just like the church is God's A plan in achieving his purposes, so in the same way, leaders are God's A plan in getting the job done. It's not to maintain what we have. It's not to manage people or ministries, but to do what God has called the church to do, which is to advance his kingdom, to be light bearers wherever we go as the church. Dudley Daniel, who started New Covenant Ministries International, which this local church as well as our church partner with, he said leadership is and always will be one of the most significant keys in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely believe that. And so, of course, understanding that leadership in whatever form is not as much a promotion as it is a responsibility that God gives to us. And so I want to take one verse of scripture, and I'm going to use these two sessions to unpack one verse of scripture. You may think, wow, what verse is that? That's going to take us potentially an hour and a half or whatever, two sessions to do that. Well, it is an incredible verse, and it's Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. So you're more than welcome to go there. But what it does is it gives us a snapshot of church structure. And with it, the different teams that participate in the life of the church. And so this is what it says. It's Paul writing, obviously, to the church in Philippi. And this is how he introduces this letter. And he says, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons." And then he goes on to unpack and to share, obviously, his heart with this church. But just in that one verse, you see these four teams. You see the what we would call the apostolic or translocal team, made up of Paul and Timothy representing that team. Then you see the saints, which is, of course, all of God's people. Then you get the overseers, which are the elders, the pastors of the local church. And then you see the deacons. And so this first session, I want to tackle might be a bit strong, but I want to unpack those first two aspects. The apostolic, what Paul and Timothy represented, this apostolic ministry, apostolic team. And then I want to talk about the saints and what that looks like in a local church. And then after the tea break, we'll look at the overseers, the elders, what that looks like, and the deacons. All right. So I hope that's all right with you. But as we speak into each of these teams, what I'm hoping is to show you just how valuable they are for the church to live in everything that God has called it to live in. Eh? And part of that will be just taking on everything that God has purposed and planned for the church. It was Terry Virgo, some of these names you may not know, but he said, "I believe that what makes Christians properly whole is the health of the body to which they belong." And so for a church to be healthy, I want to say these four teams need to not just be demonstrated, but need to be outworked in the life of every local church, including here at Solid Ground. All right, so let's jump into it then. And this is kind of line upon line teaching, but you know, I'm honestly not here to wow you with my best preach. I'm here to build. And it's one of the privileges we have as being part of this team. And we'll talk about this team, but Colin and I have the privilege of being on the NCMI team. And one of the things we've learned over the years is that, you know, you can come in and bless a church, but blessing is great, but it only lasts for so long, and that fades quite quickly. But when we build, when we're able to lay foundations, that's when building takes place, where Bruce and Sandy can build on those foundations, and we can see what God wants to build in terms of the local church. All right, so that's just my disclaimer as we get into it this morning. All right, so there we are. First one, servants of Christ Jesus. Now, of course, that was in the form of Paul and Timothy, and that would be an apostolic team. It's made up of men and women with Ephesians 4 giftings of the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher to equip the saints for the works of ministry, to build into the local church so that that church can excel and go on to the things that God has called it to. And so some of what I'm going to share is going to be very obvious to you, I'm assuming, or maybe. Other might be new, but that's fine. Don't, you know, I was saying to Bruce this morning, you know, it's been statistically said that you've got to hear something 7 times before you actually own it, before it becomes yours. And so if you've heard this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, I'm hoping the 7th today is, man, wow, okay, I've got this. This is for me to now walk in and to live in. All right, so, you know, the starting point, of course, when we're talking apostolic team and apostolic ministry, is to say that Solid Ground is an autonomous church. Huh? It's governed by the local elders of this church. Bruce is the elder, with Sandy as his wife in this role. And so there is an autonomous church, but it's a church that has chosen to partner with a translocal, with an apostolic team called New Covenant Ministries International, which is a translocal team made up of Ephesians 4 ministry gifts with an apostolic prophetic heart. That would probably be the best way to describe what it is. Oopsie. And so this team works into churches. So, you know, we're on this team, we work into churches, but it's always through invitation. So we never impose our authority. We don't just say, hey, Bruce and Sandy, we're coming to minister to your church, but we're here because they've invited us to come in. But we're here in many respects to help, to strengthen, and to equip local churches. And so it's important also to know that those on this team are based in local church. We're based in the village church. We have the privilege of leading the eldership team that leads the church. But not only are we based in the local church, but we're sent out from this local church. And so the village church are celebrating us being here. They've prayed for us even now over this weekend, because it's not us doing our thing. We are sent from the local church. All right, so it's important to understand all of that. And so this team serves as a covering for the churches that partner with the team, including here at Solid Ground. And as such, those churches then make themselves accountable to that translocal team. All right. So we want to talk a little bit about NCMI. I'm not sure how much you know about NCMI, New Covenant Ministries International. But it's important to have some understanding of this apostolic team that this church works with, not only relates to, but partners with. And so what is NCMI? Well, let's start by saying what it is not. It's not a denomination. It's not an institution. It doesn't have headquarters somewhere. It doesn't have a central fund. It doesn't own property. It doesn't have a common constitution. It's a team that operates. And therefore, Solid Ground doesn't belong to NCMI. But Solid Ground is an autonomous church that relates and partners with a team called New Covenant Ministries International. And so, of course, NCMI is not the apostolic team out there. We're just one of many teams. And we'll talk more about how this church partners with the team and why they do that. All right. So that's what it isn't. So what is it then? Well, it is translocal, meaning it's not just focused on a locality or a church, But it's beyond just the local church. It goes beyond the borders of local churches. So that's what we mean by translocal. And it's a ministry team. God always works with team, but every team needs a team leader. And so New Covenant Ministries International is led by Tyron with his wife Nicole Daniel. They are based in Denver, Colorado. They're part of a local church. They don't lead the church just because they're on the road so much. But it's a ministry team that works into local churches that are in relationship with the team. And again, they do that by helping, strengthening, and equipping those churches. All right. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
How are you doing? So Tyron Daniel, who I said leads this team, he says this. He says, this team labors together in establishing new churches, overseeing the rebuilding of existing churches, and the ongoing development of all churches that are in a relationship with the team. I think that summarizes exactly what this team does. But let's have a look at Scripture. You know, how this apostolic ministry works, and how it works with, in terms of an apostolic team. So you're welcome to turn there. And we're going to just read some scripture, which is always a good place to start. And we're going to read from Acts chapter 13.
You need your water.
Yeah. Just grab it for me, please. Sorry. Acts chapter 13. Let's read from verse 1. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. And while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Now, that work was apostolic work, beyond just the church in Antioch. And again, it was always to go in, to help, to strengthen, to encourage the churches. And it says, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. In other words, they released them into this apostolic ministry, to this calling, which again shows us that there are no self-appointed apostles. Eh? They are recognized by the local church, and then they are released into this apostolic ministry. And note, it's always part of a team. Eh? And so the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. Again, we see this thing of team. Eh? They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. So again, we see that this apostolic is a sending, it's a going ministry. It's not a staying ministry. Eh? But we also see in many ways it's a parenting ministry. Why? Because they're there to help the churches, strengthen the churches, to equip and encourage them. Those churches. They're there to set things in order, what might be out of order. And so not only is it a parenting ministry, it's also a pioneering ministry. It's going beyond the local. It's breaking open new regions and new opportunities, new doors, whatever it may be. And so that's part of this pioneering. And then, of course, it's a planting. It's an establishing ministry. So I'm just throwing that in to give you some understanding of what they do. So let's keep reading now. The rest of chapter 13, and we don't have time to obviously read it, but you see this going ministry. They then from Paphos, where they were, they sailed to Perga, then on to Pisidian Antioch, and then on to Iconium, which is now chapter 14, where it says they spent considerable time. So it wasn't just kind of in and out. They were willing to build, lay foundations in those churches. Then they went to Lystra. If you read there, this miracle that took place where a lame man, they raised him up or got him walking again, healed him. And from a miracle to a stoning, eh, where they stoned Paul and left him for dead. Quite an amazing thing. It says they then left for Derbe. And so let's pick it up in Acts chapter 14 now. And verse 21. It says they preached the good news in that city, that's Derbe, and won a large number of disciples. Again, that's always the fruit of apostolic ministry. Not just making converts, but making disciples. Eh? Making disciples was their primary objective. It says, then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. In that it wasn't a once-off visit. You notice that? They now went back to all those churches that they met. And so even for those Bruce and Sandy invite in here, it's not kind of a one-hit wonder. You don't come in here and offload whatever and then you don't see us again. But there's a building. There's almost the sense of many happy returns, you know. And that's what they did here. They returned to those cities because there was ongoing relationship with those churches. They didn't forget the churches. They didn't abandon the churches. But they continued to build in those churches. And here, and this is what they did, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. That's the role of the apostolic. And I trust with Cole and I here this weekend, that's what we're hoping will happen. Eh? Strengthening you, the disciples. Encouraging you in the things that God has called you to do. And then Paul goes on, he says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said, Paul and Barnabas. And then it says, Paul and Barnabas appointed, if you look at the footnote, ordained elders for each of those churches. So notice here the apostolic team ordain elders, and that's what we hold to. So elders don't ordain elders. When elders come on here at Solid Ground into the future, apostolic team will come in and lay hands and ordain them. Yes, as we saw through prayer and fasting, you know, which we're about to read, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they put their trust. And then after going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they started, where they'd been committed to the grace of God for the work that they had now completed. And so you see, they returned to the base church from which they'd been sent out. So they weren't just all over the place doing their own thing. They were sent from a church, they come back to the church, and then on arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So what does that tell you is that they were accountable to the local church. And so when even we go back, we're accountable to our local church, the village church. And so yes, only Paul and Barnabas went, but the whole church participated in their going, in this apostolic ministry. And not only participated in it, but celebrated the gains that were made. The ground that was won for God's kingdom. And then it says, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Why? Because the translocal is always rooted in the local. So let's keep reading. If we go over the chapter, chapter 16, Acts 16, and just verse 4 and 5, it says, they, now this is Paul and Timothy, says, traveled from town to town. They delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. And that was the decisions around the Gentiles coming to faith. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Once again, the fruit, the result of apostolic ministry, of what happens when apostolic ministry comes in to local churches. And that's why it's only through our apostolic relationships. And for you as a local church, it's the relationship with NCMI that we're able to do effective apostolic work and be involved in apostolic work through those relationships, which of course is to see communities, cities, and nations being impacted with the gospel. Because Solid Ground doesn't just exist for Carterton, Masterton, Greytown, or the wider area. No, Solid Ground is to disciple the nations. It's to go into other nations. Be a blessing for in your Jerusalem, absolutely, but also in your Judea and your Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Eh? And that's why partnering with a translocal team as a local church is so important. Why? Because no one person, no one church can achieve the Great Commission on their own. We have to partner with others. We've got to do it with others and with other churches. And that's why, according to Scripture, the biblical way to disciple the nations, to evangelize the world, is, as I said, to plant churches in every village, every town, every city, and every nation of the world. Eh? That's the commission that God has called us to. But of course, no one can do that on their own, eh? Which is why we need apostolic relationships, so we can be involved in apostolic partnership and the work that God's called us to do. Eh? And so, as I said, it's our translocal partnerships is what allows for that to happen. whether we're the ones going, or whether we're praying for those who are going, whether we're supporting them, encouraging them, financing them, whatever it is. But the truth is, we can all play a part in apostolic ministry, eh? Which God has called every church to be a part of. Alright, so if we're talking about not just this ministry, but also this team that we partner with, let me give some specifics about how this works. Is that alright? Just so we have a greater understanding, and then we'll get into some of the stuff that's more pertinent maybe to the local church when we're talking things like the saints, the elders, and deacons. But some specifics, and I'm just going to list them here. So all of those that are on this team, the New Covenant Ministries International team, have been invited on by the team leader, who, as I said, is Tyron, with his wife Nicole Daniel. And every one of those on this team are based in local church. So there's no people just kind of floating around doing their own thing, but they're based in local churches. They're accountable to local, their local church, even if they don't lead the church. And many don't lead the church, but they're based in local churches, those in the team. The other thing is, churches choose to partner with this translocal team, and they do it on the basis of friendship and trust, not on the basis of constitution, contract, or institutional loyalties. It's always through relationship. And then relationship and shared values are what enable us to partner meaningfully together. It's no good having a different value system or not being in relationships. That is a key thing. And so Bruce was in Adelaide just 3 weeks ago, because it's all part of the relationships we have with New Covenant Ministries and just the translocal team. And so no doubt he came back encouraged, strengthened, equipped in many ways of what it is that God has, all the doors that God's opening for you guys as solid ground. NCMI, and I've touched on this already, serves as a covering for you as a local church and for every church that makes themselves accountable to the team. Because here's the thing, to be in authority, you need to be under authority. And so Bruce and Sandy have authority, they've had hands laid upon them to lead this church. And so they're in authority, they need to be under authority. And so they're under the authority of the NCMI team. Why? Because they've invited that authority into their lives and into this church. It's never imposed, it's always through invitation. And so each church invites the team to step into the church, as I said, remembering it's invited, not imposed authority. Why? Because the elders direct the affairs of the church, not the team, not the NCMI team, does that. This team does lay foundations. Ephesians 2:20 clearly says it's the apostles and prophets that lay foundation, with Jesus as the chief cornerstone of those foundations. And so we come in many ways to lay foundations, but also to repair any cracks that may be in the foundation. Because all of us have blind spots, every local church. So when we as the village church, we invite team guys in, first question I'm asking is, when they've been through the weekend or a week or whatever it is, I want to say, what's wrong? What are we missing? What are we not seeing? What are the areas that we need to adjust or change or whatever it might be? Why? Because they have an ability to see things sometimes that we don't always see. Why? Because we're too close to the coal face. And you need someone with an outside perspective, but also with a gifting, to be able to say, hey, that's going well, but maybe that needs a change or whatever it is. They also help sort out imbalances, whether it's doctrinally or behavior in every church. And so we've used the team in the past when we've had some challenges that need some outside perspective and help, and it's been a huge blessing to us. They also help in the training and equipping of leaders, as we're doing this weekend. They're involved in planting and establishing new churches. So when this church was planted, the NCMI team got around them, helped them, encouraged them, even financially supported them for a season. Why? Because we partner together. We want to see God's kingdom advance. And planting local churches is the way that God does that. As I've mentioned already, they ordained elders. As we saw in Acts 14:23, Paul and Barnabas ordained elders for each of them in each of those churches. They also help keep God's people just excited and zealous for the things that God has for me, you know? So that's the hope, that greater excitement in your hearts as a result of apostolic ministry, even over this weekend. It's through these apostolic relationships that, as we've already said, churches will be strengthened in the faith and grow in numbers. Eh? Acts 16:15. They also have the ability and the anointing, as I've said, to build into churches, not just to bless churches. And we're about building, hey? Because building is what lasts. They help keep the bigger picture before the church. Because the danger can be churches can become parochial, because it just becomes all about what's happening in our little world. And that's the same for us. And so we need teams to come in to say, hey, there's more out there. Mm. There's something bigger than what you've seen and experiencing. Come and be a part of that. Eh? Mm. And then, of course, the last thing on that is Solid Ground can stop partnering with NCMI at any time with no conditions or strings attached whatsoever. That even if Solid Ground owns building, it's their building. It's not NCMI's building. So I'm just stating that. It's not a controlling or a top-heavy thing. It's a partnership. It's a relationship. It's out of our friendship and wanting to advance God's kingdom together that we're able to be a part of this thing. And then if you keep reading, if we go back to that Philippians chapter 1, you know, it clearly tells us how these four teams operate. But if you read down a little bit further in verse 5, Philippians 1:5, Paul says, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I love that, huh? Because partnership is the key here. Of course you can have some effect, and you do have some effect on your own as Solid Ground, as a local church. But there is far greater effect when you partner with a transferable team. And we've had the privilege of partnering with this team for 32 churches now, 32 years. But even before we led the church, we came into a church that was partnering with this team. And this team have only done us good personally and as local churches. And it's allowed us to see beyond what we just see in our own locality. And there is huge, huge value. You know, the Bible says that if one puts 1,000 to flight and two puts 10,000 to flight, now you understand something about partnership with other churches, where we're able to multiply and not just give ourselves to addition. Eh? And so that's the first thing that Paul speaks into here. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, part of a team that goes into all these churches. We looked at those examples in Acts 14, Acts 15, Acts 16, and it's all over scripture to understand just how valuable and how important it is to be part of something beyond ourselves and to partner with the translocal team. All right. Sorry, I have had a bit of a head cold last week, which I'm still kind of having the remnants of it, so if I do cough a little, please excuse me.
But you're not contagious.
No. Far from God. You can't come and have a conversation with me without feeling you're really sick.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the first of those four things. You know, any questions around that, maybe? Anything you're not sure about, or you feel like, oh, I didn't know that, or that's helpful? Anything?
You were saying in the last part that Solid Ground Truth will be able to sort of disconnect from NCMI.
Yeah.
But you started the story with there need to be like a layers in there, like start up one base and then you go further down the trip. So if they would disconnect, that would mean that they are sort of cut off from a layer, so they need to be replaced with a different sort of
100%. If they choose to, and I'm just stating, there are some who decide, oh, no, this isn't quite for them down the road or that, but the key is to be part of a translocal team, to submit yourself to that, to be accountable to a team, you know? And this is the team they've chosen to partner with, and I'm sure they're delighted with what God's doing with and through NCMR. But as I said, it's just one of many teams, you know? But we're not a denomination. That's the thing. That's the difference.
I think it's worth commenting, however, that should they go into sin or heresy or...
God forbid.
Yeah. safety and security of the people, the team partnership exists as well. Mm-hmm. That anyone within the local church, heaven forbid, Sandy runs off with the cash, or Bruce ends up.
I thought you were going to say with the man or something.
No, I was going to say Bruce runs off with some other woman. The people and the leadership here are able to contact their team and come in and help. Mm-hmm. So it's for the protection of the people as well as the accountability and protection of this couple that exists. But the team can also, if they went totally into heresy and there was concern, that the team could actually come and sever that relationship. But they would say to the church, this is why. Mm-hmm. So there's that balancing all the time. Yeah.
And also, we don't have to make big decisions in isolation. We're able to go and say, "Hey guys, what do you think about this? Will you pray about that? This is too big for just especially until we have an eldership team." But even then, we would still do that.
And that's just wisdom, because none of us see the big picture, the whole picture. Mm. We only see part of, and that's why there's such value in this.
So again, you just brought up something, Bruce. You may not know that, but Brendan, an elder on our team, has been co-eldering with Bruce and Sandy since they planted this church. With them now moving to Australia to transition the leadership of a local church that's asked them to come in, Mark is picking that up. So they're not in this thing alone. The desire is to raise up elders, to raise up deacons in this church, and until that happens, we're partnering with them. And so that's the security for the people as well as for them. Yeah.
Which is what I would get to when we get to elders.
Sorry, John.
To elders.
Can
I say something?
Yeah, of course.
However, we've been on eldership teams that have partnered with NCI for 20 years, like since we got married. And prior to that, you were on a team and, an eldership team that related to NCMI. You came off the ship then. So it's been about 20 years that we've been on eldership teams that have related with NCMI. Mm. And I think the one thing that I want to say, just thinking about it now and looking back, it's actually quite interesting because it's been such a healthy experience. And I think, there's never been, to my knowledge, that if I've heard one out of 1,000 churches, because, there's, 22,000 churches or whatever that relate, or it's like lost count kind of thing. But it's like, of what I've known is there hasn't been any unhealthy relationships. Mm. You know what I mean? And that's a testimony. it's a ridiculous testimony of how things work right. Sure. Do you know what I mean? And how it's healthy. How there isn't crossing of boundaries and there's just that risk authority, like that submission and authority balance that's so healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you can see that it's flourished and it's grown and it's healthy. So it's that's been my personal experience.
Yeah.
Because to have a relationship with church people for 20, 30 years, sometimes there's lots of unhappiness or things that go wrong that aren't dealt with or stuff like that. And my personal experience of 20 years is I haven't seen things going wrong. I've 99% seen things going right.
Yeah.
There was one thing that I can remember going wrong, kind of thing.
No, look, there's no perfect team either. But it really does bring stability, it brings security, it brings a sense of ownership that we're not on our own, we're not isolated, we're not struggling in this thing on our own, And so Bruce and I will chat, periodically, every so few weeks or whatever, and that's important, because otherwise you feel like you really are on your own, just trying to do this thing that God's called us to without the friendship, without the support, without the encouragement, without the perspective. And so even us coming in here, we're not here to ever tell Bruce and Sandy what to do, how to do it. If they ask our opinion or perspective, we can share it. But at the end of the day, they've got to decide what they do with that, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I say it's invited authority and not imposed authority.
But I think also our testimony has been 32 years with partnering with this team has done us good.
Yeah,
and every context, five churches that we've led three and been on five elderships, it's done us good.
Oh,
and we've partnered, we've been on Tyron's team for 20 years this year. And that in itself is a testimony of the health of relationships, that accountability, that understanding of being under submission, not only to God, but to other men in authority.
Yeah.
Just this beautiful harmony and, you know, and iron sharpens iron, so there can be sparks that fly, but the wonderful honoring and working it through, because actually we're friends first, and we love one another, and so what we do out of respect and honor. I think it dignifies what God is doing. So it's wonderful.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, so then he goes on and he says to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. And so again, the saints, and some of the newer translations refer to it as the Lord's people. It's one and the same. But the saints are all of God's people, huh? In the church, doing the work of the ministry. And that's the key. Because without the saints, can I say, not much would be achieved, not much would be done in the church. It's the saints that really are the A-team when it comes to church life. And we value them, we appreciate them, because without them there would be no church. Huh? But there are two ingredients for saints to be saints. Not just in position, as in a believer, but in practice, in the outworking. And those two things, firstly, is integration. It's important that saints integrate, that there's this real sense of belonging. Which is about finding your place in the church family. And then secondly is involvement. Not just integrating, but then involved, functioning. Not just finding your place, but playing your part in the local church. And when that happens, then I want to say that's when this church becomes your church in a sense. It's where it becomes your spiritual home. Not just the place you attend, but the place that you belong relationally. The place where you can serve, where you can be involved, but also where you can be accountable. And so as much as this church is accountable to a transocean team, so in the same way the saints need to be accountable to the leaders of this church. And this is where it happens. All right, and so to be a functioning saint, can I say, starts by being planted in the house of the Lord. And I love this scripture in Psalm 92, verse 12. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Eh? And so the result of being planted in the house of the Lord is that you will flourish. You will flourish, and part of flourishing is being active, is being effective and a useful saint in God's house, which is what God wants for every one of us. Because I don't know about you, but I want my life to count. I really do. I want it to count for God, for his kingdom, for the things that he's purposed, his will, his ways. And that, of course, is both in the church, but also beyond the church, outside of the church. It was John Wesley who said, Lord, let me not live to be useless. And I remember as a young believer, you know, being so challenged by that statement where I said, Lord, I do not want my life to be irrelevant, ineffective, or to be an unproductive saint. I want to count for you. I want to count for your purposes, your kingdom in every way. And and so I think it's important to understand that as members of God's household, as saints in his church, there is work to be done. That's just the reality, you know. Sometimes we love the fellowship and we love the connection and the community, which is awesome. But also understanding there's work to be done. There's ministry that God has called us to do. And Jesus himself said, you know, that as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Because night is coming when no one can work. John 9, verse 4. And the truth is that work involves both the so-called clergy as well as the laity. Huh? And yet for the greater part of church history, the expectation has been for the clergy, the paid professional, to do the work of the ministry, while the laity, the saints, stand on the sidelines applauding. Now, that is not God's way. That is not biblical at all. Why? Because God raises up ministry gifts, like we've said already, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, to do what? Not to do the work of the ministry, but rather to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And the reason is so that the body of Christ can be built up. That's the reason for it. Hey, Jade.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Good to see you. And until when? Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4, 11 through to 13. Now, I remember hearing a story once of Dudley Daniel, who, as I said, started New Covenant Ministries 40-something years ago. And even before that, before he started NCMI, he went into a new pastoral role, into a new church. And one of the first things he did was, when he got to the church and called everyone together, he said to the church, "I want you to write me a list of everything that you want me as your pastor to do." And they must have thought Christmas had come early, you know. So they wrote all these things down, you know, like, "We want you to pray for us. We want you to visit us when we're sick. We expect you to be there. We want you to be involved in outreach. We want you to feed the poor. We want you to clothe the poor, feed the hungry, reach the lost," all of these things, and they listed them. And he said, "Right, now, pull all of this. Now, I'm going to train you to do those things. I'm going to equip you as the saints to do these very things that you're expecting me to do." And I think, man, what a great reminder, you know, that's really what it's about. Because God's intention has always been for the priesthood, huh? The priesthood of all believers. To be involved in ministry. How? By serving, by contributing, by adding value, by making a difference, whatever it is, both in the church as well as beyond the church. The saints, the priests, are called to do that. This is how Peter puts it in 1 Peter 4:10, when he says, "Each of you," in other words, this royal priesthood that he's just been talking about, "should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful ministers of God's grace in its various forms." Mm. The saints, the priests, are these faithful ministers that God has called them to use what he's given to them. And the truth is, you have gifts. God has given you abilities, whether they natural or spiritual, but they're to be used for the building up of the church. And the thing is, when you refuse to use that gift, or when you are hesitant to use what God has given you, you know what? The church suffers. The body suffers. And the church is weaker as a result of you being reluctant to use what God has given you, or to use it. And it's interesting. That's the point that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when he talks about how there is one body, but there are many parts to that body. And he talks about how each part plays a necessary and a vital role in the body functioning, not just efficiently, but also effectively. And so he illustrates it by saying things like, if you're a foot, then don't try and be a hand. Or because you're an ear and you're not an eye, don't say that you don't belong to the body. Or just like the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you. I have no need of your gift, your contribution, your help, your support," or whatever else it may be. No, he's saying every member in God's household is necessary. Every member is valuable. Every member is important for the body, for the church, to function effectively and to fulfill God's purpose for it. Every single one, none excluded. Eh? Which is why your presence and your involvement and your participation matters. It matters. Why? Because when you're not playing your part, then everyone loses. Eh? And that's the reality. And so that's why it's not only about finding your place, it's not only about taking your place, but it's also about playing your part in the church, in the body. It's about rolling up your sleeves. It's about using your gifts. It's about looking for opportunities to serve, to bless, to minister, to be a blessing. It's looking for those gaps or those needs and then responding with, well, here am I, use me. Whatever it takes, because that's how the body functions effectively. Mm-hmm. And in Romans 12, Paul talks about that. Let me just read that for you. And in verse 4 through to 8, he says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, I have an ear, I have an eye, whatever, and they do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Maybe say that to the person next to you. We belong together here. Yeah, we belong together. Not just as a husband and wife, but we belong together in this body called the church. We have different gifts. Different gifts. Don't try and be someone else's gift or try and be someone else because you like their gift. No, no. We have different gifts, and it's according to the grace given to us by God. And so if your gift is prophesying, then Paul says prophesy. Prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. Don't hold back. Don't wait for someone else to do it. If it is teaching, then step up and teach. And equip yourself and prepare yourself so you can teach. If it is to encourage others, don't hold back on it. No, give encouragement. Look for opportunities to encourage. If it is giving or contributing to the needs of others, don't hope someone else will do it. No, give generously. If it is to lead, don't be reluctant. Don't hide away. No, lead. Do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, again, this, oh, it's not my problem. No, if it's that your gift, then do it cheerfully, etc., etc., etc. So the point is, Paul is saying, use what God has given you for the building up and the strengthening of his church. And as true as it was then, it is true today. Eh? Why? Because God's desire as a saint is for you, yes, to be planted, to be established in the house of God so that you can flourish. And the way you flourish is by being active, being an active saint in his house, functioning in the life of the church. Yes, in the church as well as through the church, because that's how you will grow, how you will develop, but also how God's kingdom will advance, because saints are God's A-team in every church. All right, so those are those first two things that Paul talks about. Eh? Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, then he says, to the saints, to the Lord's people at Philippi. And then he goes on. And so it's important to understand, yes, we have an apostolic team where we have good relationships and we can partner together. But if we don't have saints, and if the saints are not stepping up and into what God has called them to do, then all of this falls flat. We'll never be able to do what God's called us to do. We'll never win Masterton, Carterton, and the wire wrapper for Jesus. You'll never be able to reach your Samaria and the ends of the earth without understanding the value of being planted in God's house, but also then being active in God's house. Oh, absolutely.
I also think, just thinking of my natural body, I know I've got certain parts that have been removed out of me. And some of
not
those,
her heart or...
And so some, you know, my body can still function without my uterus or without my...
Gallbladder.
But actually, it still puts other things under pressure. My digestive system is under pressure because I don't have a gallbladder. So when I'm not putting my heart in the body as a priest, because we're always priests, no matter what our role or function is, we are first and foremost priests who serve the Lord. And if we're not priesting in whatever way, form that God would want us to, actually it puts the whole other body under huge pressure, which ultimately affects and infects the well-being and health of the whole body, and we actually can't function as God wants us to function.
Yeah.
And so
we'll always be handicapped.
Yeah, and just thinking too, you know, that all of that serving and functioning in the priesthood is still under the authority of the head, but also the spiritual human head that God has put in place. It's not there up there and we're all, no, we just, our role and function is just different, but each part is so essential to the health and well-being.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I probably went on a little longer, but should we have our break?
Yep.
And then we'll hit the next two, which is the overseers and deacons, and what that looks like and how that can be a reality in this church.
Can I just say one more thing?
I'm sure.
Sorry,
Bruce. Mm-hmm.
I obviously love this couple and have a friendship and a relationship that goes beyond just we're on a team, we've come by invitation. And when the priesthood are not operating, or and there are not all these things happening, then ultimately they're under pressure. Mm. And they are human beings as well. They're not God.
Yeah.
And so my encouragement to this body and to these people who believe God has added them to this body is make sure you're looking after them, that you're doing your role so that they're freed up to do what actually God's called them to do and not get burnt out on every level because they're trying to do what each one of you should be doing as well. If I can say that as graciously and kindly as possible.